Yacht A, Abena, Talanotso. Good morning, everybody. You recognize that, right? Sort of. Greetings from Navajo land. So good to be here. The occasion is that we have a week's break from our youth group ministries, and so it's to see grandchildren. Because we don't get to see them that often. And so we left at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon and arrived at 2 o'clock this morning. And we'll leave at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And I'm going to give you just a short report about Emmanuel Mission. Most of you know, if you pray for us, Ruth and I are ministering now at 25 years. This is our end of our 25th year at Emmanuel Mission in Northeast Arizona on the Navajo Indian Reservation. I'm the principal of the K-12 school. Ruth is the bookkeeper. And we just finished another school year, another good school year. We only had one senior, Tom Yule Clyde, but we went ahead and had a full-blown graduation because he was just such an excellent young man, and we had three eighth graders too, so we had a graduation, and he was the valedictorian of his class. So he gave his speech, and it was just very good. So next year we hope to have at least three junior girls, so next year, there'll be three girls graduating, we hope. We're just so pleased that God has blessed us. God is working in the hearts of young people. And we're so blessed to have young missionaries. I'm now the senior, I'm going to be the senior missionary. Because the big news is that Greg and Kathy Staley are leaving, or most likely leaving. He's been interviewed for a position as a pastor in Spokane, Washington, where their son Jonathan lives. So after 41 years, the Staleys are leaving. So pray for me, because that's going to put a lot more responsibility, particularly with the church, the assembly there, onto me. But we have so many these just vibrant young missionaries, Elizabeth and Willard, and well, Willard's leaving too, but Robert was there, Kelly, Miss Kelly, Miss Julie, second grade teacher, first year of this year, and they're doing youth ministry as well as teaching in the school, and so we're just really seeing the young people become more firm in their faith, kids saved and being discipled. So we're very excited about that. We do need a kindergarten teacher for next year. So if you know anybody who loves five-year-olds, or could teach first grade, because Michelle, who's the first grade teacher, could also teach kindergarten. So it could be either way, kindergarten or first grade. As I mentioned, Willard, the maintenance man, is leaving to go back. He wants to become an electrician and then come back to the mission in maybe 4 or 5 years. So we've been praying about a maintenance man, and there was a man there last 2 weeks ago from Colorado Springs who's very interested in that position. His name is Scott Valentine, and he could also drive bus, which is a great blessing we had this year. Ann and I didn't have to drive the bus near as much as in years past. So pray for staffing needs. Those are critical needs for us each year. If you're going to have a school, you've got to have teachers. Of course, the other big thing that you may be aware of is that we have decided to opt out of the federal school lunch program for the first time in many, many years. And the reasoning behind that is that it's kind of like Obamacare in the school. There's just like these stack of regulations that are almost impossible to keep. It takes like a full-time person to kind of figure out what are all the regulations. You got to have everything has to be whole wheat now or whole grain. Where do you get whole grain pizza crust? Well, they make it, I guess, but it's not very good. We tried whole grain hamburger buns. They're about this thick and they're dry. Kids don't want to eat them. I mean, whole grains are good for you, right? I guess, but... but if the kids don't eat them, then they're not good for them. And it's just almost impossible to, plus we've wanted to anyway over all these years. We've thought many, many times, why are we taking this money from the federal government? God could supply it in other ways. But my faith was weak. But this year we made the decision. The government kind of forced us to, I think. And so that's why we asked for a food drive. And I just looked downstairs in the closet and there's like, all this food is great. Thank you for those that have contributed to that. And that's going to be an ongoing need, both financially and physically and prayerfully. The other thing is that with the government, there's always lots of waste. You've got to serve the kids the food whether they are going to eat it or not. Now we don't have to do it. If they really don't like green beans, take two or three, you know. Don't waste the whole plate full. So anyway, that's kind of a big, big decision for us. But I believe God is honoring that decision. And everywhere I go, people are saying, yeah, that's the right thing to do. We want to support you in that. So thank you for your support. Now, thank you for your support of our family over the years, your prayer for us. God is blessing us in many, many ways. I'm trying to think if there was anything else I wanted to share with you. Can you think of anything, Ann, that needs to be, or Kelly? Need a kindergarten teacher. That's kind of a critical thing. Maintenance man, bus driver. The who? Oh, yeah. Well, Liz is getting married. Liz McNeil is getting married to Ryan Skillen. And we're praying that he'll be able to find a job out there. He's a physical therapist. And then his brother Richard is also coming to be the cook, which is an important position. And also, I believe Richard will be able to help us in the church with speaking and so forth. So God is providing even already staff for next year. So, any questions? Things you've heard about? Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Well, you know this verse already. I bet you could quote it, huh? Behold, what manner of love the Father has given. You could sing it anyway, maybe, huh? I'd better not sing. Anne tells me, though, that out on the desert, my voice has improved. Thank you, Anne. She's probably just saying that. Oh, I know the other thing I wanted to tell you about. Accreditation. We went through accreditation. We're an accredited school, K-12 school. We're the only reservation school, the only Christian mission school that is still accredited by ACSI, Association of Christian Schools International. So every 5 years, you've got to go through this reaccreditation process. You've got to tell ACSI what you're doing to meet their standards, and then they come and look and see if you really are doing that. So we had a team visit in April. Very exciting. A lot of work. But they came and evaluated us or reaffirmed that we are doing what we say we're doing and that we're a quality school and that we deserve 5 more years of accreditation. Yay. But the greatest thing, the neatest thing about that was standard number 9 is the spiritual atmosphere and character development of the students in the school. It has to be, you have to show that you are building Christian character into your students and that your curriculum and your program, we had no recommendations, all commendations. They said, you're doing the excellent job, the best job of having a Christian atmosphere and spiritual development among your students. So we were just thrilled, because that's much more important than that your facilities look nice or that your bus program is good or that, you know, the spiritual development of the students. So they gave us very high marks on that, and that was very exciting for us. So anyway, I know some of you were praying about that because I wrote that in my newsletter, and you do pray about the things I write in my newsletter, right? Yeah, I know you do. If you don't know, it's posted downstairs on the bulletin board. See, or behold, look, think about. I like that song. I always want to sing when I'm up here. I don't know why. Think about His love. Think about His goodness. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God, and such we are. So I want to think this morning, I want to look at, I want to behold the love of God. And I thought of three things to help us do that. First of all, God's love is an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3, God says to Israel, I have loved you with an everlasting love. A love that will never end. You know God loves you, and God will never stop loving you. Now that's a little foreign to us in many ways because our love is sometimes temporary. We fall in love, and then we fall out of love, and then we fall in love again. I don't know how many girls I told I loved them when I was a teenager, I'm talking about. But it wasn't a lasting love. See, God's love is not a feeling. It's an action. It's agape love. That's the word that's used when it says, I have loved you with an everlasting... Well, in Hebrew, it's probably not agape. That's Greek. For God so loved the world, He agaped the world. Am I right, Jeremy? It's agape. He's probably the Greek scholar. Well, I took Greek in Bible school 40-some years ago. But when I dated Ruth, when I started dating Ruth, I wanted to be a little bit different. Because, like I said, I told a lot of girls I loved them. So when I decided that Ruth and I were getting a little beyond just being friends and hanging out together, I wrote her a little card, a little note, and on it I said, I agape you. Because I was in Greek class, and so I was going to try to impress her. She said, what does that mean? She wasn't in Greek class, so she didn't know. She never heard of the word agape. I says, it means I place supreme value on your worth. But then she went to one of the other Greek students and found out that it really is a word for love. And so she realized, oh, John is saying he loves me. But God places supreme value on your worth. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's an everlasting love. God will never stop loving you or me. Isn't that great? Agape. It's not transitory. It's not temporary. It's not based on feeling. It's based on God's character because the Bible says God is love. God is agape. It's part of His very nature and character. He places supreme value on our worth. You ever thought about that? Sometimes we maybe feel so worthless. But we're not worthless. We are unworthy. But we're not worthless. Think of all those parables there in the lost, Luke 16 or somewhere right in there. The lost coin and when it's found. See, we're the coin that God has found. We're the pearl of great price that God has found. That's not in that chapter. That's in a different chapter. But we are the sheep that God loves and went out and sought. God places supreme value on us. He died for us. We're not worthless to God. We're unworthy, but we're not worthless. He places supreme value on our worth. He loves you. His love is not only everlasting, but it's infinite. Ephesians chapter 3, well, John 3:16, you know that, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I think that word so wants to give us the idea that God's love is big. God's love is great. But we could read in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's prayer. Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. How can you know something that surpasses knowledge? Anyway, God's love is infinite. God doesn't love you just a little bit. God loves you with, well, everything God does is big, right? Everything God does, he's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. So maybe there should be a word like omniscient, omnipresent, omni-agape. Something like all-loving, infinitely loving. Now that's hard for us to understand, or it's important for us to understand, because our love is so finite. Our love is so small often. Well, we love one person more than another. But God doesn't... See, some of you might be thinking, well, God loves John Bloom more than he loves me. I mean, he's a missionary. No! I mean, half of infinity is still infinity. Did you get that? If God loves infinitely, then he can't love less than infinitely. Does God love the lost? Does God love sinners? How much does God love sinners? Infinitely, right? But we sometimes, when we sin, we think, well, God doesn't love me very much right now because I'm not deserving of his love. But you can't reduce infinity. Even when you sin, even when we stray away, God still loves us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The hymn writers don't use the word infinity. They use the word deep. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. When I was young at camp, Richard Burson liked to use the Inner Varsity hymn book. And in the Inner Varsity hymn book is a song, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Now, when I think of the ocean flowing over me, that's scary. But the idea is that all around me, God's infinite love is there. But probably the best hymn, turn to number 39 in the red book. And Becky, if you'll come, I want us to sing the third verse of number 39. This is perhaps one of the best poems ever written. Certainly one of the best about the love of God. Would you stand up? This is just sort of intermission. Notice stanza 3 attributed to Mir ben Isaac Nehorl, 1050. Sing this with me, could you? Becky, give us the note. Could we within the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Sing it now. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Oh, good for you. Man, if you don't get goosebumps when you sing that, I don't know, something's the matter with you. God's love is vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, infinite. God loves you with all of his being, for he is love. He can't help himself. Now, we don't always feel loved, I know that, but that's our problem. And part of the reason, I've just been meditating on this, how much God loves us. It's infinite. Deep. Unconditional. I don't have a particular verse, I guess, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know God's love is unconditional. It is not based on our actions. You get that? Our feeling about how God feels about us might be based on our actions. But God's love does not change because you didn't read your Bible this morning or some other thing. Unconditional. God puts no strings. Loves you everlasting, eternally. If he loves you infinitely, then it has to be unconditional. He's never going to stop loving you. He's never going to love you any less. That's hard for us to grasp because our love often is so conditional, isn't it? If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. If you love me, I'll love you. But that's why God says, love your enemies. Love unconditionally. He's not talking about the feeling again now. He's talking about the action. Self-sacrificing love, even towards those who aren't loving towards us. Because that's the love of Christ in us. Now some might say, well, if God's love is unconditional, then I can just do whatever I want and he will still love me. Well, that's true, but if you really understand the love of God, if you really grasp a hold of the love of God, then as Paul says, the love of Christ controls me. The love of Christ constrains me. Jesus, or John says, we love him because he first loved us. The more we understand about the love of God, it's not going to make us want to run out and do whatever we want to do, sinfully, but to respond back in love to him. Some might say, well, if God loves everlasting and infinite and unconditionally, why does he send people to hell? Well, God doesn't send people to hell, does he? People choose to not respond to the love of God. And so there's a balance between God's love and God's justice. God is infinitely just as well. And sin must be judged. But God did judge sin on the cross to prove his love for us. Some might say, well, if God loves me unconditionally, why do all these bad things happen to me? If God loves me, why doesn't he make it easy for me? You ever think that? My nickname on the reservation is Mr. Flat. I have lots of flat tires, although I've begun buying a little more expensive tires, so I don't have to change my tires so often. If God loves me, why does he let me have flat tires? If God loves me, why do I get sick? Well, there's a lot of reasons, and I just give them to you briefly here, some of them. Maybe God is using hard things in your life as a discipline for you because of sin in your life. But that shows love, right? Hebrews tells us that. What father would love his son and not discipline him, not correct him? So correction is an act of love. If you don't correct your children, then you must not love them. So God sometimes corrects us. That's an act of love. Sometimes God is using hard things in our life to build character. Like a coach makes the kids run, you know, suicides, back and forth, run. To build endurance. That's what James says in James chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into trials, because those trials produce endurance. You don't want to be a wimp, do you? Well, if you just have it easy all the time, you're going to be a wimpy Christian. But if you have some tough things to go through with God helping you, you're going to be a stronger Christian. God wants to build patience in you. Well, how do you get patience? The way Job did, I guess. God wants to build mercy in you. How can you feel sympathetic unless you have experienced some of those same hard things? So sometimes God is disciplining us. Sometimes God is trying to build character in us. But that's an act of love, right? You don't want your kids to grow up wimpy. You want them to be strong. You want them to have character, backbone, all those things we say. Sometimes God is testing our faith, like he did Abraham. Abraham went through some really hard things, but he passed the test. God puts hard things in our life sometimes to see, are we going to turn our backs on him or are we going to trust him in the hard times? God's always asking this question, do you love me? Are you going to love me no matter what? God wants to know that. And the way he finds it out is to give you some hard times. That's an act of love. And sometimes it's just God allows hard things in our life so that he can receive the glory. That was the blind man in John chapter 9. Why is this man blind? So when I heal him, God will receive the glory. So hard things doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. God loves us unconditionally. And he's working in our hearts and lives to show that love, demonstrate that love to us. Now, quickly, there's three relationship examples in the scripture that teach us about the love of God, or are to be a mirror of the love of God. Can anybody guess one of them? Father to son, parents to children. This is Father's Day, right? Raise your hand if you're a father. God bless you. We appreciate the fathers. We wouldn't be here without fathers, right? Or mothers either. Fathers to children. Mothers to children. God is like a father who disciplines us, who protects us, who provides for us. All those things fathers are good at doing. Should be good at doing anyway. To reflect the love of God. Those are acts of love. If a father loves his children, he's going to discipline them. If a father loves his children, he's going to protect them. Not from all bad things, because that builds character, but from evil. But God is like a mother, too. This isn't Mother's Day, but do you ever think about that? Now, the Bible always uses the pronoun he, talking about God, but God has a lot of maternal qualities. Did you realize that? God's love is tender. The Bible describes God's love for us as the love of a nursing mother. You ever think of God like that? You ever come to God like that? God, I really need a hug today. God's there to hug you. I mean, what do kids do when they get hurt? Mommy, mommy! God, I'm a father. I need a hug. I need to know you love me. Kiss it. God does that. Don't always think of God as this stern old man. God is a mother to us as well. Another relationship. Husband to wife. I mean, you guys know this, right? But it's just good to remind ourselves. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And again, it's not this feeling so much, although maybe it is, because you think of Zephaniah 3:17, he will renew you in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. I remember seeing this funniest home videos, America's Funny, AFV, something like that. We watch that sometimes. And they show weddings a lot in there because disaster. I mean, things funny always happen at weddings. But there was this guy, and as his bride was coming down the aisle, he's just like, and then when she says, I do, he goes, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, he just lost it. But I kind of think of God as when we respond in love to him, he's going, oh, hallelujah! God rejoices over us with joy. I mean, it's 42 years this week, last Wednesday, that this lady said, I do to me. And I said, I do to her. But a year before that, when I was going to propose to her, she didn't know I was going to propose to her. Nowadays, young people, they all have it all figured out before they ever get engaged. But she had no idea. She thought I was going to ask her to go steady. I just skipped right over that. I went straight from I agape you to will you marry me? But for about 3 days, when I knew I was going to pop this question, she could tell something was going on. Something was, because I was just all excited. What? That's the kind of love God has for you and me. Particularly when we respond to Him in like love. And there's friend to friend. God is our friend. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Proverbs says. The example of David and Jonathan. David said of Jonathan, his love went way beyond the love of women. There's that close friendship love. God's your friend. Is God your friend? You spend time with Him? You get to know Him? And so that's the kind of the goal. Well, there's a couple goals of this message. Is to understand and think about how much God loves you. And that He's never going to stop loving you. And no matter what you do, He's still going to love you with an infinite love. We need to think about that. But that should engender a response. Maybe like, oh, God loves me, God loves me. Do you love God? Do you love Him more each day, each week, each month, each year? How do you express that love? Do you tell Him? The hymn that was sung at our wedding, I like, the second verse. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown He giveth, but on His blessed hand. The King is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace. Jesus, Your love is so beyond understanding, and yet, Lord, we've just been meditating and thinking about so much, how You love us so much. And You've proved that love, and You've... God, thank You that Your love is infinite. Thank You that it's unconditional. Help us, God, to love unconditionally. You and others. Help us to rejoice in Your love. Help us to bask in Your love. Help us to love You more. We pray. In the name of our Savior, amen. Look forward to eating with you downstairs if you're staying. If you have questions about the work of the mission, what's going on,